The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. Final hour is here. Heather Dennis joining us shortly on what in the world the Pac-12 is up to. We think they're coming back, we think. How about Buzz next? Buzz, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Buzz. Good afternoon. Thank you very much.
Okay. You have to admit that this is going to be an unprecedented college football season. Unlike the NFL, where the players don't have to go to class, they're pretty well contained. The COVID issue is not going to be as big a factor. And Buzz is spelled with one Z, but that's okay. It's not going to be as big a factor as it is with college. This is going to be a season which really doesn't mean that much. In other words, if any of the SEC teams have a COVID breakout, they have 10 players that can't play, it's not a meaningful team. Injuries could not play near as big a part as COVID-19 might be able to do. So it's not going to be a true football season. And like the Pac-10, with their weak schedule coming in late, and the Pac-12 trying to make their decision, anyway, it's going to be entertaining to watch, but still, it's not going to be as meaningful as the prior seasons have been. Because, you know, then it was just up to injuries like Tua and Alabama, which pretty much killed their season. But, you know, it goes back to even when Joe Paterno was at Penn State, Notre Dame, they had their students mingled in with or their football players mingled in with the students, and they did away with athletic dorms. Well, now they really need athletic dorms for football players to contain them, and they should be taking online courses. So they would ensure or have more of an assurance that they don't contract COVID-19. But I just want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, let me say this, Buzz. I don't know the numbers, but I think a very high percentage of players contracted the virus between Memorial Day and July 4th. So whether that plays into this or not, I have no idea. It won't stop the issues, but I think there are a number of schools who are in better shape COVID-wise than the general population. As far as it meaning, I can't give you an absolute answer because we haven't seen a down of football yet in the SEC. I mean, I haven't really been overwhelmed by some of the other stuff that I've seen, and I'm sure that plays into your rationale. I think there are several schools that could be a disaster this year in the SEC, one or two. Because I don't think they have the depth, and I think they're already struggling. So that could impact the overall integrity. But I think overall, I would be hard-pressed, and I'm not just saying this because to be a rah-rah guy, but I think I would be hard-pressed to say that the season won't have meaning. For some, I think it will have significant meaning. And until we get a little deeper into it, it's really hard to give you much of a response. I'm not going to overwhelm you with how excited I am that we're having a season. I think everyone is. I mean, this has been quite a journey for 6 months, and I think this weekend is a celebration of that, but it is not a finish line by any stretch.
No, I think it is a celebration. And again, if we didn't have a season with the SEC, what would you have to talk about?
Yeah, I will tell you, Buzz, I thought about that a couple of months ago, and I mean, short of, I'm not going to make jokes about disastrous outcomes, but it would be a disaster, okay?
It would be. But again, you know,
all I would say to you is that
predicting a catastrophic outbreak.
Yeah, well, Buzz, I don't know.
In the winter. So, I mean, that's doctors. I'm not a
no,
doctor.
No, I agree.
And my son's a surgeon, but I'm not a doctor.
No.
But if it breaks out like they're talking about,
right,
and these players have to intermingle with students.
No, you're right.
But students have shown that they have no concept. You know, they're still having parties.
Mm-hmm.
And they put money in the pot, and whoever gets COVID first gets the pot.
Buzz, let me jump off here. I thank you for the call, but I will defend students. I don't want to be a numbers biostatistician or whatever they call it, but the numbers have gotten better at almost every school. I don't know what's happening on these campuses because I haven't been on one in a while, but I think it's doable. I also know what the epidemiologists predict, but some of them predicted disaster already, and we haven't had that yet. But I'm not going to say you're wrong because I don't know. But I appreciate your call. Jim is up next.
You know, I got to tell you. You know, I think you know this. I am 90% of the time, not every time, but 90% of the time when I call the show, I am bursting with energy, and to have to hold on for a caller like a guy who needs a buzz. It all but takes all the energy out of me. I'm trying to contain it and hold it and restrain it and capture it for this call, and I hope I do.
I'll tell you what, we had a couple of Debbie Downers right before you showed up.
Yeah, I know. God bless you, I-Man. I-Monkey Man. It must be miserable to be you. You're the most, it must be painful, really, to be you. You're the most miserable human being that ever came on this show, probably on Earth. So, I mean, you need help, buddy. You need, it's just unbelievable how, full of negativity. I mean, anybody that's full of negativity, would you agree with that, Paul? I know doctors, psychiatrists tell you that anybody that's filled with negativity like he is, usually is just a completely depressed, he's the one that should be depressed. He's the one that is just, I don't see how that guy makes
it. Well, I would say this, Jim. I thought your call yesterday was very honest, and you know, for him to criticize it, I think shows terrible judgment. I mean, you were.
It just shows what I told you all along about him. He's a spiritually sick redneck. That's all he is. He attacks anybody and everybody that's Alabama that's positive. He doesn't want any positivity. He's jealous of everybody that makes sense. He's jealous of, started out jealous of me. Become jealous of all of Shane, of others, got to be friendly with Shane. And Shane and I used to laugh. You know, I think you know this. Every day until Shane died, except when he was sick, we talked. He and I on the phone were every day, probably 30 minutes to an hour.
No. I mean, you know, I used to talk to Shane on the way home when he was sick, and he would tell me about that.
Yeah, well, we did. We loved talking to each other. And I told you the day I broke up and told you I love him, and I think he loved me. But Shane had positivity about him, even though he was negative sometimes about Auburn. But that's, you know, that was his gig, that was his thing. But he was just a positive guy. He told me, he said, "Don't hate the guy, Jim. Feel sorry for him." Talking about I-Man, and I said, "Shane, I just can't. The guy is such a detestable." But Shane was always positive, even toward people like I-Man. And I've lost my train of thought on what else I was going to say. But have you heard from Jeff today?
No, he's probably still making money.
No, well, I talked to him before this call about 30
minutes ago. You talked to Jeff?
Oh, yeah, we talk now. He and I talk almost as much as Shane and I used to talk. He's a good friend of mine now, Paul. I'll be honest with you. I hope I'm not hurting his reputation, but he is a really, I like good people, good decent people. You know, there's really no good people on earth. The Bible tells you that, but I like quality people. He's a quality guy. He's upbeat. He's positive. And he makes a lot of, you know, a lot of good sense, and he has a lot of good things to say. I enjoy talking to the guy; I really do. I consider us good friends.
Well, that is interesting. Well, I like him very much too, as you know. So that's That's really cool.
Well, I mean, I thought you already knew that when I played ball, Paul, if a team was lucky enough to beat us, I was the first one to congratulate them and be friendly with them. And if they were friendly to me, I've had some of the best friends in my life that were competitors against me playing baseball, football, golf, all kinds of guys. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that, but I had him nine. I told you the story. I had him eight up, an 11-year-old junior to him, and I was playing fantastic golf because I was a good player, even at 11 years old. And I had him eight up.
Eight up?
Eight up playing match play with nine holes to play. All I got to do is tie one hole and I win. I got so screwed up in my overconfidence, and then he brought his family out there. I have to admit, he brought his whole family out there, and I didn't have anybody watching me except the people that, you know, was in the country at the country club. My daddy and mother really never were interested in my sports career. But anyway, and I lost the match, and that's where the depression really started, Paul. Can you imagine being eight up playing match play?
I don't think Greg Norman ever blew an eight up lead.
Well, I mean, I lost. I had to lose every hole, but I came apart. I came apart because I was so overconfident. And then I started. Then when you start doing that,
oh, sure.
You start counting.
Golf is not a good game to suddenly fall apart in.
What?
Jim, I have to go to a break. We'll finish that. That's one of the great collapses in golf history. Can't believe I haven't read about that in the past. Anyway, quick break. More to come. We are back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Yeah, we welcome you back. Richard is up next. Hey, Richard. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good evening here in Auburn. I'd like to start off by saying Romans 15:13 to Elmo Buzz and anybody else that feels down here in 2020. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I try to start things off in my life regarding my faith and everything that I do, but I like to go on to speak about just awareness in general. My mother actually had breast cancer, and I heard an interesting opinion yesterday from one of your callers who was talking about how the Black Lives Matter movement is similar to the breast cancer movement, and how just because breast cancer is heightened in cancer research as far as a public statement made by athletes. In the same way, it doesn't elevate breast cancer over any other cancer. And I'd like to really underscore that. I appreciated that perspective. I'd also like to put forward the perspective that I don't believe most people are against athletes having a political voice. I think most people, it's just that the platform of Black Lives Matter is very unpalatable and that it stands for socialism in a lot of ways. However, no one, I don't believe, except for the supreme minority of white supremacists, that believe that black people or black lives don't matter. moving forward from that, I'd just like to ask a question of where you think Kentucky's going to be this year. I saw on SEC Network where some of your colleagues had placed Kentucky over Auburn, and upon hearing that, I wanted to do some more research and found that A.J. Rose is really a great running back, 6'1", 210 pounds, with quite a history of not only working beside Benny Snell, but having a great season last year. And I was wondering where you think him and the offensive line for Kentucky stand this year in the East, and why they may not be ranked higher nationally at this point.
Well, first of all, thank you for your call. And having experienced a family member with breast cancer, I certainly I'm hoping for the absolute best with your family. I think Kentucky would be good, but I may be wrong, but I'm just thinking that is too big a hill to climb on Saturday. But I am a big fan of Mark Stoops and everything that he has done at Kentucky. It would be a monumental win, though. I will tell you that right now. Judge Chris, you're up next. Good afternoon. Chris, you there?
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. You do something that's pretty amazing. I've been listening for about, since 2016. We are in difficult, historic, and challenging times. But, Paul, you have an ability to listen to people with a lot of respect. Let me throw a question at you. Justice Ginsburg died. One of her best friends was Justice Scalia.
Right.
They were as different as can be, but they respected each other and got along. I served with a judge whose her birthday's today, Judge Ashley Parker Dunston. We are really different. I'd be more like Scalia, but not as smart. But we get along. We can talk to each other. We respect each other. Where do you get that? I think it's has a more positive effect on us than you might think. But what do you think?
Well, thank you very much. I heard a clip, and I'm sure you've heard it, where Justice Scalia was talking about there. He said we're so much alike, except I disagree with every legal opinion you've ever written. And they laughed. And I think that's the beauty of friendship. That you have to check your ideology at the door, and I don't know. I mean, I think I've evolved to be perfectly blunt with you, Judge. I don't think I was always like this, but I just think what I think is not important. It's really what you think and what everyone else thinks, and I've moderated that. I mean, I have a reputation, as you probably know, as this flamethrower who overwhelms people with opinions, but I don't really think this program is about my opinion. I mean, I'll offer it, but I am not Rush Limbaugh. I am not Colin Cowherd. I am not the type of talk show or Stephen A. Smith, a close friend, who starts the program off with an opinion. I want to hear from you.
No, I appreciate that. Hey, one of the folks, oh, by the way, today is Judge Ashley Parker Dunston's birthday. Would you say happy birthday to her?
Judge Parker, you said? Happy birthday, Judge Parker.
Ashley Parker Dunston.
Oh, Dunston. Happy birthday, Judge Dunston. We hope you have many, many more. And if I'm ever in front of your court, give me a break, will you?
Yeah. Hey, I got a quick song.
Okay.
And I look forward to Heather Dennett. I like it when you talk to people smarter than you and me.
Well, she is.
This is for the Pac-10, and maybe she can bring them back. The Pac-12. Today I passed you on the street, and my heart fell at your feet. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Bring the Pac-12 back, Heather. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Keep safe.
The singing judge. That's a first. Anyway, we are heading to a break because Heather is going to join us in a minute, and she is smarter than all of us. And hopefully she can tell us what's going on out west, where the Pac-12 about to make yet another decision. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back. We've been watching this story all day long. What exactly will the Pac-12 12 do. Let us welcome in Heather Dinich from ESPN, who is tracking that epic story as she has so many others. Heather, thanks so much. So what's happening right now on the West Coast?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, they're still in the middle of meeting, Paul. I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to go, but if they do decide to come back, they are debating, sources have said, between October 31st and November 7th start date. Ideally, they would have liked their teams to get 6 weeks of practice in, but then you look over at what's going on at Colorado. Just hours before the presidents and chancellors sat down to meet this evening, Colorado had to stop its practices for 2 weeks, Paul. So the earliest they could come back right now is October 8th, and that's because of local government restrictions because of the coronavirus pandemic. That is the county of Boulder, Colorado, making that call. So if Colorado doesn't practice until October 8th, that makes that October 31st target date a little bit more tricky. If they go with November 7th, if they decide to come back at all, that would mean Colorado would have about 4 weeks to practice. Are they okay with that? Are the presidents and chancellors okay with that? They might be. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but those are the things that they are considering as we speak.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack there. And, you know, you're never too surprised by what's happening in the Pac-12. But Heather, if they can figure this out, best or worst case scenario, we're not talking about a lot of games, are we?
No, especially if they go with the November start, that would probably have to be a condensed schedule, probably 6 games. But look, it's very important to remember, nobody knows how many games anyone is going to play this season. Tell me how many games Houston has played so far. They can't get a game right now, and it's not their fault. They've had 4 straight games postponed or canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. So my point is, if Oregon wins 6 games, and that's all the games they play, and Alabama, maybe they only get in 7 games, and they go 6-1, we're probably talking about that as in regards to the college football playoff race.
I know that you're always in communication with the CFP on what they're thinking. They're not really thinking anything yet because they haven't seen anyone's resume. But if they do get a Whitman sampler here, so to speak, how are they going to deal with the unevenness of the field?
Well, if you thought the playoff was unfair before, just wait till 2020. I mean, I don't know. How are we going to deal with it? We're going to argue about it every weekend amongst the analysts, I'm sure. It's going to be extremely difficult, but I can tell you that the commissioners are the ones who determine the protocol, how to determine the top 4 teams in the country. As of this skinny minute, there have not been any changes to that protocol. There haven't been any benchmark set as to how many games a team has to play to actually qualify for a semifinal. That doesn't mean that won't change. But remember, the commissioners are in charge of it. They want to see what their conferences and their teams can get through, probably closer to mid-November when the committee starts to meet before making any of those determinations, because obviously all of their teams that they oversee are fighting for a spot in one of those semifinals. So it's still too early. They don't have to make a determination on that right now, but it is going to be a giant headache for the selection committee.
Heather, back to the COVID issues. We had the Notre Dame situation come up yesterday, and then USF decided to pause. I know you've looked into that. What do we know now about both of those programs taking a break right now because of COVID?
Well, Paul, you know, as we talked about this morning on Get Up, it's interesting and important because it appears to be the first instance that we've had where the coronavirus has impacted two games. So now at South Florida, Notre Dame gave them the names of the players who were infected. And then so now you have an official at South Florida who has to go back and watch the game film and see who, if any of their players were in contact with the people who were infected, what kind of contact that was, how long they were engaged. And that helped them determine their contact tracing policy and then turn around and say, okay, we're not comfortable playing FAU this weekend. So not only is Notre Dame unable to play Wake Forest, now you have South Florida unable to play FAU, but South Florida has said there's no way to determine where this came from. And a spokesperson did say that it was a small amount of positive tests.
So we get 14 schools joining the party this weekend. I'm curious through 3 weeks, and I realize there's a lot of variances here. But is there any way to come to a conclusion on how it's gone so far? You mentioned Houston. There are other schools. Virginia Tech hasn't played yet. Is it going fairly well? Is it all over the map? What is it?
I think it is literally all over the map. No one should be surprised by this. I mean, we are in the middle of a global pandemic, and schools are doing everything they possibly can to mitigate the concerns around it. But you cannot eliminate it. It's a very contagious virus, according to the medical experts. So I think this is just a sample of what we are going to continue to see. It'll be interesting to see if the SEC's contact tracing devices that their players are going to wear are going to help them. But Paul, one of the things everybody has to realize is that all of these leagues have their own ideas of what is best medically. The medical opinions are differing. In the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, they say daily testing is the best. Greg Sankey has told me twice the past two times we've talked that the PCR test is the gold standard. It's on the CDC's website as the gold standard. So they're all doing their own thing. Does one work better than another? I don't know. Yet to be determined, but I think the disruptions are par for the course, and we're going to see a lot more of them, regardless of which way they choose on the medical end.
And just to give fans one more thing to think about, in the SEC, the protocols are different, but could we see Saturday morning or Friday afternoon or sometime before game time a total disruption? Or what is the cutoff point, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask you.
My understanding is Friday is the last test, but I think Notre Dame, in my mind, raised the question with how that unfolded, because ideally the whole reason teams are testing at least three times a week up to that point is so that nobody who's infected gets on the field, right? Well, how was anybody infected on Notre Dame's field? They've been doing a great job. Let me make that very clear. Notre Dame, heading into this thing, was doing really well as far as positive tests went. So if that happened, it just seems to me that there's no foolproof answer here as to how to keep players who might have the virus off the field. I'm not a medical expert, so I don't know the answer to that, but it happened, so it might happen again.
Well done, Heather. Always great to have you on. We really appreciate the time, and go back to following the Pac-12. We'll be watching and listening and reading. Thank you very much, Heather.
Thank you.
I feel like I get up with Heather every day on TV, and we go to say goodbye to her before dinner. Really great to have her here. She is fantastic. And we will take a break and get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.